Father, we thank you so much that you're in our midst. Jesus, we ask for Holy Spirit revelation knowledge from your throne. Lord, I pray that the people will be encouraged and blessed, not only through my series of messages, but through Dan and Marty's messages. Lord, we want to have a meeting with God. That's what we want this weekend, a meeting with God. We choose that and we choose life. And we thank you for revelation knowledge, a spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge in the name of Jesus Christ. If you agree with that prayer, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. You know, as I was driving down here and several days prior to that, I began to seek the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to share in Vidalia? What, you know, I don't want to just come down here and share something to take up time. I said, Lord, what do you want me to share with the people there that would be an encouragement, timely, a blessing to them? And the Lord, the title of what I'm going to minister on tonight, and then what do I have? Tomorrow afternoon? Is that right? 2:30? That's my slot tomorrow. Okay, it's going to be a two-part series on the power of perseverance. So you may want to write that down. Is that timely? Okay, the power of perseverance. Perseverance. Can you tell that I'm the one that does all the artwork? Isn't that nice handwriting? You need a translator, don't you? You need the gift of interpretation for that. All right, let me give you the definition of perseverance before we get in to the scriptures. What does the word perseverance mean? The word perseverance means, number one, to continue doing something in spite of difficulty. To continue doing something in spite of difficulty or opposition. And number two, perseverance really runs in the same vein as steadfastness. So tonight we're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures, background material on perseverance. And we're going to be running across the word patience. Some of your translations, I believe the New American Standard regularly uses the word endurance. So patience, endurance, steadfastness, perseverance, determination. Do you see how all those run in the same vein? I mean, they all run right together. So when we read scriptures, I mean, I'm sure there's a fine definition, a difference between the ones that we'll read, but really they run right in the same vein together. How about turn this down just a tad more, if you would? All right, let's look in Luke 8, and let's look at verse 15. Everybody say Luke 8, 15. All right, you're with me. Verse 15. It says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with what? Patience." Or the New American Standard, doesn't that say perseverance? Is that what it uses? Glenn, does it say perseverance? Perseverance or endurance? All right, so what we want to talk about, the first thing, the category we want to talk about, is that perseverance, and I'm going to abbreviate here, perseverance is necessary for all areas of the believer's life. All areas of the believer's life require perseverance. All right, let's read that again in light of that. It says, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the what?" The what? The word. Now, what kind of word is he talking about? That could be the word of salvation. Amen. That could be the word of provision. That could be the word of deliverance. In other words, anything in God's kingdom is considered the word of God. Are you with me? So don't just limit it, you know, in your mind to salvation. A lot of times we've read that parable, the parable of the sower, just in light of salvation. Now, it does include that, but it includes everything in the kingdom. I remember when I first got saved. Can y'all remember the time you first got saved? I mean, you know, I woke up the next morning, the devil said, "You're not saved." And so I had to get re-saved. Well, I didn't have to get re-saved, but you know what I'm saying? Finally, somebody sat me down and said, "No, the Bible says, you know, he'll never leave you nor forsake you." And I got that assurance. In other words, I was holding on to that word, and with perseverance. Perseverance, it brought forth fruit. Now, people could line up, 100 people could line up and just say, "You're not saved, you're not saved, you're not saved, you're not saved." And, you know, it wouldn't make me feel good, but it wouldn't cause me to waver in that area, okay? So, in other words, that perseverance helps in that area. All right, but then there's other areas where maybe I'm not 100-fold. I might be 30-fold in the area of provision, but I'm not just going to throw my hands up and say, "Well, that doesn't work." I need to persevere and grow in the Lord. Amen? From 30-fold to 60-fold on to 100-fold. So perseverance is involved in every area of the Christian life. Now go with me to Hebrews 12, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. We're still talking about perseverance is needed for all areas of the believer's life. You know, sometimes we just tend to categorize and say, well, boy, I really need perseverance now, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm really going through a problem here. Well, really, perseverance is applicable to every area of the Christian life. Hebrews 12, and let's look at verses 1 and 2. And I tell you, we are going to have a good time tonight and all day tomorrow in this because, man, this is hitting home with me, with y'all. I know it is by the Spirit. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, those are the believers that have gone on before us. And they're watching the race. I mean, they can see it. The picture there is of the Roman grandstand. I mean, they're up there cheering. Amen. Don't you believe they're cheering for you? They're saying, Jason, get up and go. We're not falling down. He says, a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now, this is a little side issue, but do you see how those two things are distinguished there? Some things may not be sin, but they can be weights, and the Lord calls you to lay them down anyway. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with what? There it is. Patience, perseverance, steadfastness, endurance. So the picture here is of the total Christian race. I mean, you're in the race, and you've got to have perseverance. I remember I went out for track one day in high school. Amen. You know, I had the letter in something. I said, you know, all the guys got these letter jackets. Man, I need a letter. I need something. You know, dude, I was playing football, and I was the smallest guy on the team. Man, they were just beating me around. I said, I'd track. That must be my niche in life. So I went out there for tryouts. You know how they do? And they had these little things you get down on, and, you know, the guy says, go. Shoots the gun, and you go. And I kind of had the guys spotted that were the best on the track team last year. I was leaving them behind. I thought, glory to God, look at that. Man, I really found it. Look at me. Man, I was going around. I didn't know he had to go around like 10 times. They did. Well, about the first time around, I was, you know. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, now you're running a race for Jesus. He says, have perseverance. It's not just enough to start out in a flash. He says, pace yourself. Run with perseverance that race. Now, look at verse 2. This is interesting. He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher. He's the guy that's at the chalk line that shoots it and says, go, and he's the guy that meets you at the end. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy... Now, this is important. Look at verse 2. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Now, let's stop right here. In perseverance, here you are. Isn't that nice? That's what you look like right there, stick figure. Here you are. Now, in this area, you need perseverance. But what's going to help you in perseverance is to keep your eye on the goal that God has set you to do. Now, that goal may be a ministry goal, such as in my case. That's what I'm called to full-time. It may be something in the realm of business. It may be a thing the Lord's calling you to believe for. It may be a person that's not walking with the Lord that you're believing for. Have you ever had some of those? Have you ever had some of those you thought, oh, dear God, it's really going to take God to get them saved? Doesn't that sound funny? Have you ever thought like that? I mean, they really got to have God to save them, as if God, you know, is not involved in everybody else. I know I'm tempted to think that sometimes, too, about people. No, we got to keep our eye on the goal. In other words, see them saved. This woman came up at one meeting, and she wanted me to pray for her husband, and I felt led. I said, take a picture of your husband. I said, now don't tell him what you're doing, you know. He'll think you're pulling some kind of witchcraft or something on. I said, take a picture of your husband and then cut a Bible out of some other magazine and glue it right on the hand of your husband. So in your wallet, you've got a picture of your husband. Now, he's not saved, right? He's got this Bible. I said, in other words, keep your eye on the goal. That's going to help you have perseverance. Whether she did it or not, I don't know. She might have got caught and got in trouble. All right, look at verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. See, he didn't enjoy it, but he endured it. Why? Because of the goal, the joy that was set before him. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, you need perseverance in every aspect of your Christian life. I'm telling you, in the realm of character, don't you know you need perseverance? I mean, there's some things, they call them besetting sins. That's what it's called there. There's some things, you know, habits that all of us have. They may be different. They may be really dumb to other people. But they just trip us up regularly. We need perseverance to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit in that realm. You know, you need perseverance in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's been some nights I've been right on. I mean, I lay hands on somebody and just tell them their, you know, street number almost. Then there's other night, Lord of God, it's just like I'm in peanut butter. You know what I mean? It's just, you're not getting anywhere. And you lay hands on them and say, you need prayer, don't you? You know, revelation. What a revelation. I remember this, where was that? That was over in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This lady came forward, and bless her heart, she looks just like a sweet old lady, you know, one of the sweet old ladies, and you don't want to say anything bad about them. I laid hands on her, and the Lord said to, I didn't hit her with that. The Lord said to rebuke a spirit of suicide and to break the power of drugs over a life. Little old lady standing there. I thought, God, I said, can't you give me something a little more general? I mean, you're either right on or you miss it, you know, with that kind of thing. So, you know, you're tempted to think, you take too many aspirins, you know, something like that. But you need perseverance. So I laid hands on her, and I just spoke what God gave me, and with fear and trembling, literally. And all of a sudden, I heard in the back of the auditorium, I guess it was her family, they were just praising God. And so I knew I'd hit something, you know. They were praising God for her. And what had happened is her husband had died like 3 or 4 months earlier. And she was going through this terrible grief. And Satan was giving her these thoughts about, you know, taking her life. And she's been having to take drugs. And man, she just went out in the Holy Spirit and God ministered deliverance to her and broke the power of that thing over her. You see. But in my life, in my mind, I say, boy, you know, I was really off that night. Or boy, I was really on that night. See what I'm saying? There's perseverance in every aspect of the Christian life. Character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, your goals in life. Perseverance is always involved. Now, go with me to chapter 6. Just back up to the left a little bit. Hebrews 6, and let's look at verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. He says here, "And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence." Now that's interesting. There's diligence. That means there's some effort involved. "To the full assurance of hope unto the end." Now let's bear down on verse 12. "That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience," who through faith and patience, let's all say that together, "who through faith and patience," one more time, "who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now, if you'll allow me just to use a little mathematics here, he says who through faith, so I'll put faith, and we'll put a plus sign, faith and patience. Now, I'm going to use the word perseverance. I don't know, somehow patience just, you know, reminds me of a wet doll or something. I like perseverance. That's got more of the pressing attitude in it. That perseverance, more of the pressing attitude. Who through faith and perseverance, okay? Who through faith and perseverance, they do what? They what? Look at it. Inherit the promises. So we're going to put promises over here. They inherit the promises. Now, faith and patience or perseverance, those are the two ingredients that will lead you to the promises of God. Now, you can know everything there is to know about faith, but if you don't have perseverance, it won't necessarily lead you to your goal. Huh? Some people are highly developed in perseverance. I mean, they can wait for 10 years on God, but they have no faith. Are you with me? It takes both to lead to the promises of God. Now, let's think about it back to the track idea. They say that when you're a jogger and you jog great distances, it's great to have a running companion because they'll kind of encourage you and set the pace. I mean, you know, you're saying, man, I feel like quitting. I mean, let's just go to McDonald's. I feel like quitting. You know, I'm out here running. I'm not getting anywhere. And the guy says, no, man, come on. We can make it. Let's just run up to that telephone pole up there. So they encourage you that way. Now, you see, faith and perseverance always go running together because here you are believing God for something. And you know as sure as I do, when you're believing God for something, there's opposition. Satan tries to steal the word. That's what the Bible says. And so your faith goes like this. Man, I just feel like quitting. This thing isn't working. But, you know, perseverance comes along and says, oh, come on. Picks faith up under the arm and says, let's run onto that telephone pole. I bet the answer's right there. And so there they go running together. So faith and perseverance need to go running together to lead you to the promises of God. Now, let's kind of switch gears here. We'll go to the second main area that I want to look at. And that concerns the area of perseverance and faith. We want to home in on these two things we've been talking about, perseverance and faith. Perseverance and faith. And we want to study the relationship of those two a little bit more. Let's go to James chapter 1, a familiar passage. And let's analyze it in light of what the Lord wants to say to us tonight. I believe some of you have need that this message would be rekindled in your hearts. I believe there's some of you that have had goals and you're just about to quit. Maybe you've skinned your knees a few times, fallen down, and God's saying, no, I'm going to do it for you. All you need is some perseverance and keep going. You say, but I'm out of wind. Well, perseverance will come right along. It'll grab you up under the arm and say, let's go on to that telephone pole. The answer's probably there. And it'll get you down the road a little bit further. James 1, and let's look at verses 2, 3, and 4. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now that word temptations does not merely mean solicitation to sin. It means trials, testings, and yes, it could involve the solicitation to sin. My brethren, count it all joy. Now, that's pretty tough right there. When you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. Now you say you really can't count it all joy unless you know this. I mean, if you're honest with yourself. I mean, I haven't reached where Paul is yet. He just gloried in trials and tribulations. Come on, trial. Have you reached that place yet? If you have, write me a letter about it. All right. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or trials, knowing this. Now, here's what you got to know. That the trying of your faith worketh patience or perseverance, or I think the New American Standard there says endurance. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh perseverance, patience, endurance. But let patience have her perfect work. Everybody say that. But let patience have her perfect work. See, patience has a work to do in your life. Here's faith out there running for that goal. And have you ever been around somebody that's just excited for God when you don't feel like being excited for God? Huh? Have you ever had somebody, I mean, they're just, oh, glory to God, they're just, you know, dancing in the Holy Ghost, they're ready to go, and you just don't feel like it. Huh? Well, sometimes your faith is out there running, and patience will come up and say, come on, we can make it. I don't want you to run with me today. Go back. I don't feel like running with you today. But it says, no, let it have its work. Let it come on in there and grab faith up under the arm and work with it. Verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, the implication is, if you don't let patience come into the picture, if you don't let perseverance enter into the thing, you'll not reach your goal. Now, by goal, I'm referring to anything that God's called you to believe for. There again, whether it's a life goal, whether it's a ministry, a loved one, a thing that you're believing for. I'm telling you what, we persevered for that pregnancy right there. Amen. And I give the Lord the credit, and I'm excited about it. All these fatherly instincts are coming out of me now, praise God. I didn't know they were there, but they're coming out of me. And you see, there was a time, I'll just be honest with you. In fact, Martha and I talked about this coming. There was a time where, man, I just felt like, you know, the pit. I just want to give you the way it was. I just felt like, man, you know, we've been married 6 years, we've been trying, and this thing's just not working out. Lord, what's happening? And I go back to the Word, and I'd read all the promises, you know, about the Lord causes the barren woman to keep house and so forth, and He's going to fill your quiver and all that stuff, and I was trying to figure out what size quiver I had, you know, and things like that. Maybe I can't hold one, you know, my quiver, I don't know. And the Lord says, no, He says, I'm going to do it for you. So I'd get my faith built back up. And I want to tell you, there were some discouraging times, but perseverance would come into the picture. Huh? And carry us, and praise the Lord, the answer is on the way. I mean, in the physical, we can see it on the way. I felt it kick last night. It's on the way. And let me just pause right here. Sometimes people will discourage you, even spiritual people. We went to some meetings. Now, you understand, I totally believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are very important in my life for guidance and just the abilities of God. We not only need the character of God, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we need the abilities of God, which is the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But, you know, somehow our reputation would precede us, the barren couple. And we would go to the meetings, you know, and there was always two or three people that just felt, you know, led to counsel us in that area. And usually about 10 minutes before I spoke. Now, that's real tactful, you know. I'm up there trying to, you know, seek God in review, and they want to come up and have a lengthy discussion about, what's wrong with you, brother? And so we went to one meeting. This guy laid his hands on Martha. And now listen, I'm not cutting this person down, because you understand that prophecy in the New Testament is in part. It says we prophesy, we know in part, we prophesy in part. It's not equivalent to Old Testament prophecy. That's why we have to judge it. We have to discern it. But this guy came up, and he was a sweet brother. The Lord laid hands on Martha, and I was standing there, and he said, thus saith the Lord, within 2 months thou shalt conceive. Well, 2 months came and went, and we hadn't conceived. Now, you see, if my eyes had been on people, huh? I would have just been wiped out. My eyes weren't on people. It was on the Word and perseverance coming into the picture. You say, well, do you just throw your hands up and say, well, this doesn't work, the gifts of the Holy Spirit? No. You just are more mature than that. And I've seen the guy since then. I just love him and bless him. And then, praise God, Dan came along. Now, Dan, he does have an anointing for this, and I'm not joking. He's got an anointing for this. And he prayed for us. And I have trust in Dan's prayers. Some of these guys, just the way they look, you know, I'd lose trust right away. That's not right, but I do sometimes, you know. And, so, you know, kind of crazy stuff. We had several things like that happen 2 or 3 times. People came up and said, Lord, 6 months. Well, glory to God, I persevered for 6 months. No conception. Well, what do you do? Just say it doesn't work? No. Back to letting faith and perseverance come in the picture. But Dan laid hands on us and prayed, and praise God, I felt something. I really did. I felt an impartation, and I believe that was instrumental in us conceiving. But let's look at what it says here. It says in verse 4, but let patience have her perfect work. You're going to have to let it. Everybody say, let it. I mean, you can resist it if you want, but you've got to let it. It says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. Look at this, wanting nothing. I mean, if you'll let it come on into the picture, it'll get the provision for you. It'll lead you to your goal. It'll do the job. It'll get the thing done. But if you say, well, I don't want to go running with it today, then you'll be wanting everything because you've not let it come into the picture. Let's look at verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Now, that blows most theology right there. My temptation is, you know, especially when I maybe haven't been pleasing God in certain areas, I think, well, you know, no need to talk to the Lord about it. No, look what it says. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men what? Doesn't say stingily, does it? It says liberally. And upbraideth not. He's not going to, you know, on the way out saying, do better on your job next time before you come back in here. You know, sometimes we tend to think like that. I'll pick up your socks. Don't yell at your wife again before you come back here. You know, it says he upbraideth not. Verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now, that's a key right there. And tomorrow, I'm going to give you 4 specific keys to perseverance. The whole thing of tonight and tomorrow is going to build up to 4 keys for perseverance. And I want to tell you something. There's one right there. I'll just give you an insight. Look at verse 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Did you know that if in your mind you're not certain that the Lord wants you to attain that goal, you can't have perseverance? Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you'll just be gritting your own teeth and going in your own power. But if you're convinced in your mind the Lord wants me to get to that goal, then that perseverance can come in and do its work. But if inside you're saying, well, I don't know if this is the Lord or not, then perseverance, you see, a waver. It won't be running with you long. Look what he says here, verse 7. But let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, I couldn't help but think, driving back into town today, about our first crusade. Y'all remember that? Amen. Clint and Terry are right there. Jim and Annette were right there. And Coogan and Kathy, and so many of you. George and Tammy. And it was a blessing. People helped us so much. They really did. In fact, I give credit to these people right in this room to help us achieve where we are today, and I praise God for it. But I thought about that crusade, and we went down there. Man, I didn't have much experience, you know, in drawing the net. I mean, it looked so easy with Billy Graham. From the balcony, your friends will wait for you. The buses will wait. Come forward right now. I want to give you some literature, and you on the TV. You know, I thought, praise God, all you do is get there and preach the word and say, come forward. And so the first night, and, you know, I preached, and we had some testimonies and things like that. And, I mean, nobody was coming forward. Here I am about getting wiped out. Nobody. I think my dad came forward to help me, make me feel better, you know. My dad came forward. Clint may have walked off the stage and come forward. I don't know. But, you know, it just wasn't the response I was looking for. And, oh, my heart just sank. And the second night, we got rained out, didn't we? It's getting better. Amen. No, it wasn't getting better. It was getting worse. And, you know, we had come from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we had put what little bit of money we had saved up in this crusade, and we were doing our best, and they were doing their best. Oh, the first night we tried to put the banner up. It just about blew us off the parking lot there. We didn't know much about putting these banners up. I mean, a big 40-foot banner on the back of this trailer. One fellow had his finger broke before the meeting. Amen. I mean, the wind took that banner and just twisted it all up, and that guy, he just jumped out of the car and said, let me help. He just squeezed his finger right in half. Now, you try to preach with all that strife running around you, you know, and you're up there and you can hear the thing. It was bowing. The thing was going to pop any time. I thought, man. So the second night, we get rained out. And I'm saying, Lord, I mean, maybe I shouldn't have come here. What am I doing here? And I was so disheartened. I was so discouraged. And in fact, that night I went to bed. You know, we stayed up there and prayed and had a praise rally right in the truck. And people were so, I mean, they just stood with me. They really did. You know, if they had walked off, that would have been terrible. But they stayed right there and prayed, and we sang to the Lord. You know, we didn't get to preach or anything that night, like what we were there to do. But I went to bed that night, and I got up. Oh, it was raining. I got up about 5 in the morning because I wasn't sleeping. I was just so discouraged. And I drove all the way from Lyons, that's where we lived at that time, up to the trailer, and I just walked on that trailer back and forth, and I was crying, physically crying. I'm not saying crying to the Lord. I was crying. I said, Lord, what's going on here? I said, I could have sworn you called me into the ministry. You know, what are we doing? And I didn't get any answer. No great revelation. And it was like the demons were just up there laughing at me. It was really like I could hear the demons laughing at me. And I'm not trying to draw this out and make the real interesting story. But while I was sitting there crying to the Lord, the banner that was up there finally had so much water in it, it just goes, fell in the mud right at the very time I was sitting there praying. Just like the devil was saying, ha ha. And it had said, Jesus is Lord on it. I think that's what it said on it. Jesus is Lord. And so, you know, all of a sudden I just heard a little voice in my heart saying, persevere. Persevere. You know, that's not a real deep truth, but persevere. So I went back and we preached the next night. And, you know, nominal results. I mean, you know, by day it didn't fall on its knees and give me the key to the city or anything like that. But some people came forward. I think about 2 or 3 received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Del Berenger prayed with some girls. She's the one that got a baptism in the Holy Spirit, not even me, you know. And, you know, when you're up there and you're a crusade, you know, she's down there, hey, I'm supposed to do that. And so in my heart, I was discouraged a little bit. But you know what? Several weeks later, I had a dinner. And Clint helped me put together the list of people that we invited to the dinner. Do you even remember that, Clint? And we had a dinner. And there was about 35 or so people that came to that dinner, most of them from this community. And quite a number of them had seen that crusade. And because of the perseverance, because I was able to stick it out through the Lord's grace and inspiration, those 35 people gave enough money to kick our ministry off that opened up the coffee house that we had down here for what? A year and a half or so that we opened up. And you know how many people got saved there and baptized in the Holy Spirit. But see, the whole point is, I look back, what if we had just called it off the second night? It's raining. You know, I'm going back to Tulsa. Well, I didn't have enough money to get back to Tulsa, you know. I don't know where I'm going. But what I'm saying is, because of that perseverance, God was able to work. And sometimes God calls us to persevere even when we don't understand. Huh? You don't have to understand to persevere. I like World War II movies. You guys like World War II movies? That sounds real carnal, but I love World War II movies. I like submarine movies. I just like to visit a submarine sometimes. But, you know, in submarine movies, World War II movies, the guy's in a foxhole. And the commander's on the radio, hold your position. I mean, the enemy's just, you know, bam, 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 around them, about to overrun the hill. You know, why should I hold? Don't ask questions. Hold your position. You see, sometimes in the thick of the battle, in the heat, you can't get all the answers. There's not enough time to get all the answers. God just says, hold your position. You hold your position, you don't know that air support's on the way. Amen. You don't know that maybe there's another platoon coming around back to ambush. You just hold your position. So you don't have to understand everything to have perseverance and hold your position. But I thought about that as I came in today, that perseverance, you know, was instrumental from the first day we started into our ministry and where the Lord's led us right now. All right, go with me to Romans 5, Romans chapter 5, and let's look at an interesting passage that talks about perseverance and patience. Romans 5, and let's begin with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. That's interesting. We stand. Everybody say we stand. You got to stand in it now. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 3. And not only so, now here's the interesting part, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. So let's put up here testings. That's just a shorter for tribulations. Testings or trials. He says in verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience." So I'm going to say testings leads to patience or perseverance. In other words, when a test comes, that should be the call for perseverance. Perseverance, get up here right now on the double because this test has come up. Look what he says here. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience." So I'm going to put over here experience. And it says, "And experience what? Hope." Now let's analyze this little progression here. Testings, patience, experience, hope. In other words, when testing and patience worketh together, it says in James 1 that it'll make you perfect, having need of nothing, wanting nothing. What that does is that produces the experience in your life of victory. In other words, because your faith hasn't just been book learning, you've actually got out there on the front lines, you've been shot at, and you've let patience come along, you know from experience now that it works. You know from experience that if you'll just stand with patience and not give up to the test, it works. And what does that do? It produces hope for future action. For future action. You know, David was a lot like us in the Psalms. I mean, I read those Psalms sometimes and he starts off, you know, belly aching like we do. "Oh God, why hast thou forsaken me? The enemy has surrounded me. Oh God, why does that seem far off?" But you read on a little further and he starts, you know, kind of getting into faith like we usually do. He comes on down and says, "But I remember upon my bed at night that thou hast been my help in the past. I remember that you caused me to break through the troop and leap over a wall." And he begins to recall these experiences of victory. And because of that experience, he usually ends up in the psalm saying, "Glory to God, we're going to get him tomorrow." Because see, David was a man of war. He'd say, "Glory to God, we're going to win tomorrow. I don't care if all Goliath's brothers come out here. We're going to win tomorrow." Why? Because I remember when I slew the bear. I remember when I slew the lion. I remember when I took off Goliath's head. Therefore, come on, God is with me. Why? Because he has experience. It's been my observation that Christians who face testings without patience, they have no hope. Huh? People that go through testings, believers now, good people, saved people, on the way to heaven, they'll get to heaven. But they're just kind of frustrated right now. People that have testings, but they don't add patience, therefore they have no history of experience in their life. And because they have no experience, history of experience, of victory, they really have no hope for the future victory in their life. But this should be a message to us. When we face tests and trials and hardships and so forth, we need to say, "Patience, come on up here. Perseverance, get on up here. Steadfastness, endurance, all of you, come on up. It's time for you to work." And then you should begin to reflect on experience. What the Lord's done for you in the past. How the Lord delivered you in that situation. And you know what that does? That just gives you hope for the future. I mean, it just causes you like David to rise up on the inside and say, "Glory to God, it's not so dark after all. I got God on my side. And God caused me to be victorious last time, I'll be victorious this time." And you see, that just gives you hope for the future. All right, go with me to Hebrews 10. Back over to Hebrews. Hebrews 10. And let's look at verse 35. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, 35, 36, and 37. He says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence." Let's all say that out loud. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence." You know what that word, cast away, the Greek means? I'm reading just right out of the marginal reference here in my Bible. It means to throw away, to lose. The reference is to a cowardly soldier who threw away their weapons and fled from the battle. Isn't that interesting? The picture there is of a soldier who says, you know, "Oh my God, they're about to overrun us," throws away his weapons. You know, you've heard about that. I mean, just so much fear. Drop your weapons and run. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, don't be like that. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't cast away the Word. Don't cast away the memory of your experiences of victory. One of the things when you're facing a test or trial is the devil, the way fear operates, fear will come, Satan will come and say, boy, you remember when you wiped out back there? Oh, you remember when, boy, you really wiped out back there. I mean, you messed up bad back there. Don't do that. You say, well, that may be true, but that's under the blood. I'd rather remember this. And you start quoting the victories where God, you know, delivered you and God intervened on your behalf. And he won't stay around for that because he doesn't like that kind of testimony. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need, here it is, of what? Patience. Everybody say you have need of patience. That's what I'm saying by the Holy Spirit for us this weekend. We have need of patience. We have need of perseverance. We have need of steadfastness. We have need of endurance. I mean, just get in there and keep going. Paul, man, Paul just had patience oozing out of him. That's just the way Paul was. I mean, he just oozed patience and perseverance. How would you like to be in jail? Huh? I mean, you've had the vision, let's go to Macedonia. Now you're in jail. You've delivered one little girl. The only thing you ran into is a women's aglow down by the river. Remember Lydia? Just a bunch of women down there. Women, I mean, you're a value and so forth, but it wasn't a real big crusade. Amen? Now don't get mad at me and leave. But he just runs into some women down there, and one girl comes up there, and she's got a spirit of divination. He casts the spirit out, and the whole town gets mad. They don't say, let's have a crusade. Oh, glory to God. The evangelist Paul's here. They said, beat his back and throw him in jail. And who was with him? Silas. Don't you remember that? Paul and Silas were in the jail. And at midnight. Now, most decent folks sleep at midnight. Amen. I could kind of hear the conversation. They weren't like the prisons here. Chained. I can hear Silas. Paul, this is it. I've had it. We've been shipwrecked. We're in jail. You don't pay me well anyway. You said you had a vision. I'm not going to listen to your visions anymore. You're a visionary. All you do is dream, dream, dream. My mama told me not to join your evangelistic association. I'm quitting after this, Paul. If we get out of it, I quit. It's midnight now. Oh, lohoba, somebody te Allah. Paul, he's praying in the spirit. You ever been chained to somebody praying in the spirit when you don't feel like it? Glory to God. That just, you know, you don't feel like being there. But you're chained. You know, he's got a little tack. Paul's not going to raise his hand because they're chained together. But every once in a while, glory to God. Glory, Silas. Hallelujah. Well, Silas, you know, he probably started praying a little bit. You ever been around worship service where you kind of gradually get into it? You know, his hand's up there, he can't do anything else. Paul's over there, oh, glory to Jehovah God. Jesus is alive and well on planet Earth. Oh, both somebody to Silas, glory to God. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. But before long, they were worshiping God, it says. And it says all the prisoners heard him in the place. And you know what happened? You know, all of a sudden, the first jailhouse rock right there, the Holy Spirit came, split the place, and their bands popped off of them. The man got saved, and God did a great work. I believe the jailer was probably the man in the vision. I believe the jailer was probably the man in the vision. But are you with me now? Perseverance. Don't you see perseverance there? Don't you see perseverance operating in Paul? I mean, he could have just said, it's midnight, let's go to sleep. No, he said, let's praise God. I see perseverance there. And I think that Paul, here we back up to our little diagram here, I think Paul could persevere there in the jail because he had a goal. I believe he was sitting there thinking about his vision that he had. Now, I know I'm supposed to be here. You see, if you were in doubt that you were supposed to be in Macedonia, you couldn't persevere. You'd say, well, I've missed it. But he could say, no, I'm supposed to be here. I had the vision. And I shared it with the men. In fact, if you read the tense, it says Paul had a vision, and then it says we concluded that we were supposed to go into Macedonia. So Paul evidently shared the vision with the other brothers, and they said, yeah, that's the Lord. So they knew they were supposed to be there. And because of that perseverance, you see, had no problem operating in that area. Where was that? All right, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You see, you've got to just keep on keeping on. Verse 37, for yet a little while. Sometimes it seems like a long while, doesn't it? Hey, listen, if you haven't figured this out yet, I figured out God doesn't operate on the same time frame we do. His little while seems like a long while to me sometimes. Amen. For yet a little while. I'm glad it wasn't as long as Abraham and Sarah. Thank you, Jesus. For yet a little while. Amen. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. I think he's referring there to the second coming, but in reference to miracles now. Your goal now being fulfilled. That loved one being saved. That new job opening up. Whatever it is that you're believing God for, God's not going to tarry. He's going to come. He's going to do it. If you'll just let perseverance and patience rise up and carry your faith on through the situation. Now, I want to look at, and I'm going to have to do a little erasing here. We want to go to a third category. We've looked at perseverance for all areas of the believer. We've kind of seen some scriptures on that. It's involved in every area. Remember the parable of the sower. That's every area, every word of the kingdom takes perseverance. Then we looked at perseverance and faith, and we've seen the relationship that they're companions. They always go running together. They never go jogging separately. They're just always together when they go out jogging. And we want to look at a third area, and that involves perseverance and spiritual warfare. Perseverance is definitely involved in spiritual warfare. You know, there are different divisions among the armies of the devil. I mean, Satan, where did he learn it? He learned it because Satan, before he fell, was an angel of God. He observed God's organization. He observed that God had different levels of angels. In fact, he himself was a great angel of authority. And he learned how God would divide up territories and assign angels and spirit beings to different places. I mean, God's highly organized. That's something that the charismatic movement needs to get back hold of, is get highly organized. I'm not kidding you. You know, we've just kind of thrown it out because some of us came from places that were so organized, they organized God out of it. But there's nothing wrong with organization. It depends on what you're organizing. Amen. Are you organizing your own efforts, or are you organizing what God's showing you? I mean, organization is important. But Satan, so he copies this. He's a counterfeit now. He copies this organization. So it tells us in Ephesians 6, in fact, let's go there, Ephesians 6, that Satan is highly organized. And you know, there's different levels of warfare. I mean, I can go to some cities, and it's just like, man, it's just like, even though it's, you know, nighttime, it seems like it's just daytime. The spiritual atmosphere there has just been broken. I mean, it's just like God's in control in that situation. The people of God, you know, are liberty in that place. But then you go to some other areas and there's warfare going on. I mean, intense warfare, and you may feel a heaviness. I'm reading a missionary book now. In fact, Dan, I'll let you read it if you want to. I know that you want to read these books. I'll let you read it if I want to. It's a wonderful book about a man who was a missionary to New Guinea. You know where New Guinea is? That's right above Australia. And he was one of the first white men that had gone into that area. In fact, I mean, he hung out with cannibals and headhunters. I mean, serious. This guy went into places that nobody had ever been before, and he had to start off by learning what the word for banana was. I mean, how do you communicate? Before he can share Jesus, he had to just learn things like banana and pot and things like that, and he lived with them. But he said that all over the island, it was, you know, not too intense warfare. I mean, he was just leading people to Jesus. A boy got raised from the dead. People got healed. And I thought it was real interesting. He was a real honest missionary. He said, the first person I prayed for, he said he went into the tent and the witch doctor had this guy laid out on the table. Glory to God, he's going in the authority of Jesus. He laid hands on the guy and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And the guy died. The guy died. He said, I felt so humiliated. I went back to my tent, you know. And he said, oh no, what are these people going to think? The person's died. But all of a sudden people started coming to his tent because they knew there's the man that prays for the sick. Didn't bother them that he died. They came for the sick. And all of a sudden, people started getting healed. But he said he went into one valley, if I can pronounce it right, called the Baleem Valley. And he said when he crossed the mountain ridge into that valley, he just felt, I know we don't go by feelings, I'm talking about a spiritual sensation. Are you with me? He felt spiritually heaviness, an evilness there. And it was in that valley, and only in that valley of the whole island of New Guinea, where the cannibals lived. And he knew there was intense warfare there. And he got chased out several times and shot out and so forth. But finally, those people came to the Lord. What am I saying? In warfare, and there's different degrees of warfare in different geographical areas. In warfare, there's definite need for perseverance. And let's look at this in Ephesians 6. And let's look at verses 13 and 14. We won't take time to go through all the different parts of the armor. Well, in fact, let's look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now, here's kind of a breakdown of Satan's authority structure. Against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In fact, I think one version says against evil spirits in high places. All right, verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all what? Having done all what? Did you know there's different types of perseverance? There's a standing perseverance, where all you can do is just stand. All you can do is just hold your ground. Then there's a pressing perseverance. If you'll study the different scriptures out on patience and perseverance, you'll find this is so. There's different types of perseverance. But he says in verse 14, stand therefore. And he goes on through the different pieces of the armor. Look with me in verse 18. Don't miss this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all what? There it is. With all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. All perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Let me give you what the Greek for that word there. In fact, in the King James, that's the only place that I know of in the King James the word perseverance actually appears. Mostly it's translated patience. There's the only place where it says perseverance. You know what that word in the Greek means? It means to adhere firmly to be in close pursuit of, intent upon your object in prayer. Isn't that good? Be in close pursuit of, always intent upon your object in prayer. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching. Watching. Everybody say watching. Watching. I mean, you got to pray and watch. They used to have these watch night services. Now they've turned into, you know, picnic time and fall down on the pew and sleep a little bit. Watch night service. But praise God, we need to get back to the real watch night service where you just get in and pray and seek God all night. Just pray. But you know, I believe your spirit man gets up on his tiptoes sometimes. Huh? Get up on your tiptoes. Have you ever been in a store looking for somebody? Husbands, you know what I'm talking about. Looking for your wife? Amen. She said she'll meet here in 5 minutes. She's over there shopping around a little bit. Huh? So what do? You go through the store like this. Get up on tiptoes. And then you learn what it means to guide with the eye. You haven't said anything, but you've said a lot, haven't you? It says in the Bible that God wants to guide us with His eye. I've seen some mothers, you know, they know how to guide their children with the eye. I'll see them, you know. They don't think I see them because, you know, they think I'm always just thinking about my subject, which I am. But, you know, I can see people doing things. And I'll see a child over there cutting up, and that mother just goes, Lord of God, she said a bunch. And that little child knows that if the guidance with the eye won't work, the guidance with the laying on of hands will. So better straighten up. Just, you know, kind of like that. But you go through the store on your tiptoes. Just get on your tiptoes, you know, you're kind of looking around. That's the way we ought to be in prayer. I mean, just not, oh God, I pray that you'll give me a house, Lord. I mean, you just get on your tiptoes about the situation, get intent on it, be looking at it, visualize it, see it, have some faith about it, and go out and put some legs to it. Amen. And God will lead you. Look what it says here. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. The implication is, here you are watching for your wife. 5 minutes gone by, you haven't found her. 10 minutes gone by, you haven't found her. 15 minutes gone by, you haven't found her. 20 minutes gone by, the answer hasn't come yet, but you're persevering and watching. That's the whole picture right there. I mean, here you are praying about something. Don't just watch for 5 minutes and say, doesn't work. It's not working. Persevere. Go on and persevere. Now, I want to tell you a story. This is a true story about an experience we had at a youth camp. And most of you know that for most of our ministry, really, I've ministered a lot to youth. We've recently had a change, and the Lord's told me to emphasize two areas. Seminars. I'm teaching seminars in churches all over. And foreign outreach. Dan got me into that. Praise God. He probably prayed me into that. And I'm wanting to go to other countries. Went to Costa Rica, and I want to go to Mexico, and I want to go down where Dan was in Africa, and I just want to get out there and see what I could be of service in these other countries. In fact, all invitations I get now for youth work, I'm referring to several other ministries that I have that are real quality in that. But this story concerns a youth camp. And I mean, it was one of those youth camps where, glory to God, I was fired up. I'm always fired up when I'm going to a meeting, especially when I'm in a meeting. You say, aren't you fired up all the time? Well, listen, you know you're fired up, and then when you know people's lives are dependent on you, you get fired up. Amen? So I was at this meeting, glory to God, I was fired up, ready to see them come to Jesus. And here's how they sat. It's one of those meetings, get your Bible out. No movement, you know. There was one guy in the crowd that controlled the whole peer group, Billy. Billy was cool, man. Had his members only jacket on. You know what I'm talking about? He sat in the back, and buddy, he wasn't budging. I'm here because my mama wanted me to be here. You know, that type of attitude. And nobody would move as long as Billy was in the crowd. And so, man, I was so upset with Billy about the second meeting. I felt like going back there and saying, why don't you just go home? Now, wouldn't that have been spiritual? But I'm sure y'all don't think like that. You probably have arrived, but just have patience. I'll be there. So, you know, I felt like going back and saying, you just go home or just leave the meeting. You're destroying the whole meeting. I mean, it's just like his attitude permeated the whole group. I mean, they're just getting nowhere. And you don't know what it is to prepare and study and so forth. You get up there and glory to God, you want to give it to them. You look out there. Isn't that exciting? You know, well, inform your face about it. You know, that's what I feel like saying. You know, and so nothing was happening. And so I told Martha, I said, we need a breakthrough. I said, we need a breakthrough at this meeting. Now, I was tempted. Listen well. I was tempted in my mind. I said, well, I've only got one more session with this group. I'm sure that the people are going to pay me because I've done the seminar. Huh? Amen. I'm telling you now. Some of my flesh is showing. I said, you know, they're going to pay me because I've done the seminar. And I'm just going to go back out there and just unload what I've got and just go home. I'm so discouraged about this situation. That was the temptation I had. But the Lord came to me and He said, no, you persevere in this thing. He said, go after Billy. Lord of God, I don't even like Billy. Go after Billy. The Lord said, now, see, I'm not telling the guy's last name, so he won't get mad at me. And so y'all will understand. But the Lord speaks to me in analogy sometimes. Amen? And He said, I had just seen this thing on TV. This is true now. I'm not making this up. I had just seen this thing on TV about how they had these rat catchers in Japan. Huh? I don't know. They just had rat catchers in Japan. Like we have pest control people. They had rat catchers in Japan. In these high-rise buildings, 100-story buildings, 100-story buildings, they just have rats running around, and they had these guys hired that knew how to go in there and just clean out rats. Amen? And so as I was watching this thing, it says that the guy knew that if he could always walk into the building, and they showed it on TV. They showed him going to the, and they showed him shining his light. I mean, rats everywhere, in the elevator shafts, you know, and all this stuff. And this guy, and he can spot the king rat. I'm telling you the truth. This was on TV. He said he knew how to spot. It was on TV. You got to believe me. He could go in there and he could spot the king rat. And he knew that when he got the king rat, there must be some kind of, you know, communication among rats. I don't know. Rat talk. Amen. And so he could get the king rat. He could just go in there and just clean out the rats. It's like they were in disarray. They didn't know what to do. Now, I'm not saying Billy was a rat, but the similarity was very close. And so the Lord said, go after, I'll just tell you like the Lord told me, He said, go after the king rat. I mean, I watered it down earlier. He said, go after the king rat. And so I told Martha, I said, well, let's just go out there and Dennis and Natalie, y'all know Dennis and Natalie Williams, some of you do from Brunswick, they were with us. I said, now listen, I said, all I want y'all to do is stand up here and worship God and praise God. I mean, it was the kind of situation where, ooh, it just felt so hard to worship God because all the kids were out there. Say, come on, worship God. Lift up your hands, you know. And I wasn't going to get them pump them, you know, come on, worship, worship, worship. I just said, we're just going to worship God. And so Dennis and Allie just started worshiping God, and I started worshiping God, and I just forgot about that they were there. And all of a sudden, I could tell they were feeling uncomfortable. You know, we were worshiping God. And all of a sudden, I had this inspiration. I went over to Billy, and I laid hands on Billy. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, I started weeping. God started weeping through me. I really began to see. Up to that point, I really would have to say I had tremendous bitterness towards Billy because I felt like he'd been destroying the meeting. All of a sudden, I could see Billy through God's eyes. And it didn't matter if he had, you know, cut up and all this stuff. All of a sudden, I could see that here's a guy that thinks he's so cool and he's lost. Here's a guy that, you know, his family, his mother and daddy are divorced and they split up and he's come through that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, God gave me his vision. Now, we're talking about spiritual warfare and perseverance. Are you with me? And God was saying, persevere through this thing. I just began to cry. I just began to weep. I took Billy. He'd never been hugged probably by a man in his life. I just began to hug him. I began to speak things to him. And all of a sudden, I had a prophecy for him. And he was standing there just like this. Cool, you know? Kind of just his membership jacket once in a while. But as I began to weep, all of a sudden, I felt him start to tremble. Billy started to cry. And Billy lifted his hands and started saying, oh, Jesus, something like that. I can't quote all the words. All of a sudden, a girl over here starts crying. I go over and I minister to that girl, and a word comes forth. All of a sudden, everybody's crying. Dennis and Allie just up there worshiping God, going, praise the Lord. And I'm just running around, glory to God, and all of a sudden they start praying for each other. You know, hey, you're not supposed to do that. You just got saved, you know. They were just running around praying for each other. And before the whole thing was over, it was one of the most spiritual, if you understand what I'm saying, it was one of the most powerful breakthroughs I'd had at youth camp. All the kids got saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I mean, it's just wonderful. Why? Now, I look back to that time in the room. Oh, I'm just going to go out there and unload my stuff. I'm just going to go home. I'm so discouraged with the situation. No, the way to go is perseverance. Amen. The way is let perseverance come in. You're facing a discouraging situation, let perseverance come in, go on through, and God will give you the breakthrough. 1 Peter 5, and let's look at verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. And you know, sometimes God will call you to persevere for other people. That's really what that verse was talking about in Ephesians 6, 18, praying for the saints. Sometimes people, they just get discouraged. They're like Moses, they just, hands just fall down. You know, when the temptation says, well, you just need to get in the Lord, brother. Amen. No, go up there and lift up their hands. Remember Moses had to have people come up and lift up his hands? Do you remember that? Do y'all remember that? Moses, and as he lifted up his hands, they won? Sometimes you have to lift up people's hands. 1 Peter 5, and let's look at verse 8. 8 and 9. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now listen, the devil, he's out to devour. He's not out to scare. He's not out just to roar. The devil is out to devour. That means he's going to eat what you have. That means he's going to take what you have. He wants to keep you from anything God has for you. That's the picture of the devil. That's what the devil does. God doesn't do that. Verse 9. Whom resist... Look, what does that say? Whom resist what? There's that whole idea. Steadfast. Persevering. With patience. I mean steadfast. In the faith. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while. Sometimes, like I said, it seems like a long while. After you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Somebody's read that before and said, yeah, God just wants you to suffer a little bit. And that's not what it's saying. It's saying you're in the midst of this trial. The devil's after you, and he knows it's suffering. But look what God wants to bring you to. Look at the end of verse 10. That's what God wants to bring you to. Make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settle you. God doesn't want to unsettle you, weaken you, and destablish you, and imperfect you. No, God wants to perfect you, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Even though you're going through some suffering, and some trial, and some hardship. But the whole thing, go back up to verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. You have to be steadfast, persevering. I mean, just keep on going. Keep your eye on what God has put before you. Even though in the middle between here and there, there's all kind of smoke and fog and everything. Just lift up and look at what God's called you to and keep your eye on that. One other passage and we'll be through. Let's go to Colossians. And this is the prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the believers at Colossae. Colossians 1. And let's look at verses 9, 10, and 11. Colossians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 9, 10, and 11. For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Let's pause right there. God wants you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. Amen. I mean, that's salvation stuff. That's what you heard when you were saved. God loves you and has a plan for your life. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that. God hasn't called us, you know, just to exist. You know, put in our time, whether it's at the factory, the office, even the ministry, you can get that way. Just put in the time, you know, raise a family, eat, go to sleep, get up, do the same. God's got a will for each person. God's got a will for your life. And you know what? Nobody else can do your will. Somebody said, well, God will raise somebody else up to do it. No, I really believe that's why Jesus has tarried so long. So many believers have not walked in God's will for them, and it just puts God that far behind. That's right. God, in a sense, is dependent upon us walking out His will. I mean, God can't reach the world unless we walk with God in the way He's called us to walk. And that's why he says you need to understand with all wisdom and spiritual understanding, verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful. Everybody say being fruitful. I'm convinced God wants you to be fruitful. Now that means, yes, saving souls, that's being fruitful. Yes, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it also means being an achiever for God. In light of what he's saying there, it means accomplishing what God's called you to do. Knowing His will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding and being fruitful. In other words, fulfilling it, accomplishing the goal that God's called you to do. I believe God wants believers to be successful. I have no doubts in my mind. Joshua 1, verse 8. If we'll stay in God's Word day and night and observe to do all that He's called us, that He's written therein, it says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good, what? Good success. Well, if there's a good success, there's a bad success. That's true. Jesus talked about that. What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? That's bad success. God says no good success. Good success spiritually, mentally, physically, yes, financially, every realm. But God wants you to be a fruitful person, an achiever, a winner. Christians need to become winner-minded. Too many believers walk around, well, God couldn't use me. No, He can't use you like that. You need to rise up and learn what God's put in you, praise the Lord. You need to rise up and say, if God's called me to be over there, I'm going to accomplish that goal. And if I have to go through hell, amen, go through hell, the spirits of hell, or how what, I'm going to get over that side. Amen. Being fruitful. Jesus said in John 15, verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that you don't bear much fruit. Is that what your version says? No. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples indeed. Amen. When people look it up and say, man, how did you do that? Who'd you know to get that thing done? I'll tell you who I knew. You really want to know who I knew? Yeah, tell me who you knew. Jesus. Jesus. How do you attribute, establishing that work? Jesus. Jesus. I mean, come on. Really, tell me how you really did it. I know you're religious. Tell me how you really did it. Jesus. They go, wow, that gives glory to the Father. Verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Everybody say every good work. Whatever you set your hand to, folks, every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened. Now, let's home in on verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience. There it is. Unto all patience. Perseverance. Steadfastness. Endurance. Same thing. Unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. In other words, Paul says, I want you to find out what God's called you to do. And then I want you to go over there and I want you to do it. And in the meantime, you're going to have patience and long-suffering in order to get over there. Because you're going to be facing some things along the way that will be difficult and hard. Some people will fall out. But no, I want you to have patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness in the midst of it, because you've got your eyes on the other side. And you'll get there. And you'll get there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? We're saying that God wants believers to understand the power of perseverance. There's power in perseverance. Perseverance has power. It will get you to the other side. It will take you to the point of your destination. It will lead you across mountains. It will lead you across rivers. It will lead you through fog and smoke and get you to the point, the harbor, if you will, of the goals, the dreams, the destination that God has for you. Folks, that's an encouraging word. Don't give up. Don't cast away your confidence. Don't drop your weapons and run. God wants you to get to the other side. He's going to come. Though it tarry, wait for it. Amen. Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for long suffering. It's in me. Because it's a quality of the Holy Spirit. And I have the Holy Spirit in me. Therefore, I release within my spirit man perseverance, endurance, steadfastness, a knowing that I'm going to make it. It's going to run with my faith. It's going to take me to the promises of God. Thank you, Father, for the goals you've set before me. I'm not going to quit. Now, I want you to say this. Satan, I'm telling you, I'm not going to quit. You might as well leave me alone. Because God and I are going to make it. We are winners together. And I have patience. I have perseverance. I have steadfastness. I have endurance. And you're the loser, Satan. In Jesus' name, you have lost. Thank you, Father. Now I just want to pray for you together. Thank you, Jesus, for these people. Thank you, Lord, that they are going to fulfill what you've called them to do. Some of them have been waiting. Some of them have been waiting on open doors. You're going to open the door and they're going to step right through it. Some of them have been waiting for provision, a realm of provision. You're going to cause the miracle basket, the miracle catch. The fish are going to hit the net in the name of Jesus. You're going to show them where to drop the net. Some of them have been praying for loved ones. Some of them have dreams, family situations. and you're going to take them through that victoriously. Now, I tell discouragement to go, all discouragement to go from these people, heaviness to go in Jesus' name, and a new joy. The joy that's set before them. A new joy rising up in them. A new joy rising up in them because they know they're winners. They know they're going to make it. A new joy they can endure because they're looking for the joy that's set before them. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. We'll give the Lord a hand for that. Thank you, Father.